the whole thing about the Mishnah on Yudbeis and Beis. Mishnah says, Avru Elu, with these first facts, we had the three facts that I mentioned in the previous Mishnah. So you had, so far actually you had, there were the three facts of the Yechidim, the individuals, the Tamar Chamim fasted. Then we had the three first facts of the community, which were the more lenient ones. So if all that passed, V'loy Nenu, and they have not yet been answered with rain, Beis Din goes with Gimel Taniyas Acheres on the Tzibur. Then Beis Din declares three more Taniyas on the Tzibur. These are stricter than the previous ones. Ochlan Rishosim Ibo'od Yoim, you can only eat and drink up until the end of the previous day, so you have to stop before Shkia or before Tzeitzei Kachavim. There's different opinions about that. Similar, but that's the thing. There are different Mepharshim discuss. Do we mean that they have to stop before Shkia, like we do by Tisha B'Av and by Yom Kippur, or maybe after all these fasts are Jerabbanan, maybe they're more lenient and you only have to stop at Tzeitzei Kachavim. Whatever it is, you certainly can't eat until the morning like the previous ones. Va'asurin b'malacha, and they're also to do work for the reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara, over a chitza, and to bathe, over sicha, and to anoint themselves, over an ill of a sandal, and to wear leather shoes, over tash mishamita, and to have relations, and they have to lock up the bathhouses, because as the Gemara is going to say, you can't bathe in hot water on these fasts. Avru eilu v'loy nanu, if those fasts passed, and still they haven't been answered yet, Beis Din goes on alein od sheva, then Beis Din it goes on them another seven. Each time when we say three or seven, we mean they're doing Monday, Thursday, Monday.
Not three.
Right, no, not 3 days in a row. That would be impossible. Monday and Thursday and then Monday. We'll have in the next parak there's gonna be a machlokas whether, for example, the first series is Monday, Thursday, Monday. Does the second series begin then on Thursday immediately after the first one, or does a series always have to begin on a Monday? We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a few days. Yeah, we started by saying the previous Mishnah had said that if the 17th of Cheshvan came, which is the normal time when the first rains should be coming, and nothing's happened yet, then the Yechidim start fasting. If by Rosh Chodesh Kislev no rain has fallen yet, that's when Beis Din starts making the tiniest of the Tzibur, and then it goes from there. So far we had again for the Tzibur we had three, then another three, and now we have seven. Shein Yud Gimel Taniyas Al Tzibur, which totals 13 Taniyas for the Tzibur.
One of six, one of five.
The real question is why, the part of the question is why is the Mishnah saying the total 13? I mean, we can count ourselves, 3, 3, and 7 equals 13. But actually, the Tosfos Yom Tov says of ours that the 13 is related to the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, and therefore we want to invoke that number. But besides that, also Mepharshim explained, based on we'll have in the Gemara tomorrow or the next day, that you don't declare more than that number of fasts on the Tzibur. You're not Matriach the Tzibur more than that to fast. Any more than that, if rain still hasn't fallen after all those fasts, the Yechidim continue fasting, as we'll say at the end of the Mishnah.
It could be 3, 5, 5.
It could, theoretically, right. And there are some Mepharshim, actually, who say that you're right. It doesn't have to be 3, 3, and 7. As long as you have total 13 and you're not exceeding that, then you're fine. But usually the first set is done in a series of three, so yeah, you know. Now, these fasts, these last seven fasts, have a greater stringency over the previous ones. Shabbat Masriyin, on these seven fasts, they do Masriyin. Masriyin can mean Meloshin Trua, which is to blow shofar, or Chatzotris, or it can mean Meloshin to cry out, as in saying Anenu. We'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow which one it is. V'Norlan Asachanuyas, and also they lock up the stores. Basheni Matin Im Chashecha. When it comes on Monday, on the fasts which are on Monday, they can prop open the door a little bit close to the evening. Why b'chlal are the stores closed? So some of us should say that this means all stores, because we're going to talk about in the Gemara you want to not do malacha, so therefore that's related to that. Other Mepharshim say no, and Rashi seems to say in particular that it means specifically the food stores. You don't want food stores open while people are fasting, because then they're going to be passing by in the street, they're going to see a store full of food, and it's really going to hurt them.
Terrible for the people.
Right, exactly.
For food.
Exactly. So therefore we're saying, on the evening of the Monday fast, they can open up their doors a little bit, prop them open a little bit, so they're a little bit open, so people can come in and buy stuff to break their fast, but not keep them wide open. Or b'chamishi m'tarnim b'fnei kvod Shabbos. On the fast on Thursday, they can keep them open because of kavod Shabbos, because people need to be able to buy food for Shabbos. and prepare it. Whether we mean that they can be open, wide open all day, or whether it means that they can only be partially open, makin, all day, that we'll talk about again, we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow. If all these fasts, all these 13 fasts passed, and they still have not been answered yet, they reduce their buying and selling, which Tosfos points out, not over here, but on your Dalet Amud Beis, that mamasin over here doesn't really mean like they do less of it, but they still do some of it. It means basically like it's off limits, similar to when we say mishnichnas adar, when mishnichnas av mamasin the simcha, doesn't mean we have some kinds of simcha, it means basically we curtail all of them. So mamasin, they reduce, or really they curtail their buying and selling. Mefarshim do discuss the question, does this mean in general, does this mean any kind of buying and selling, any kind of business, or does it specifically mean buying and selling things of simcha? Similar to the Gemara is going to talk about at the end of the Perek, that the next things the Mishnah is talking about one of the next things, with Binyan or Benetia, the Mishnah continues, that they curtail their building and their planting. It doesn't just mean construction of any kind. A person needs to expand their house, they can do it at a time like that. We're talking about a construction for something of simcha, like a wedding hall or something.
They can still continue building and build something new.
If they have to. If you have to. If your house is collapsing, for example, or if you need more room, then you have to. But here we're talking about, so when it comes to Binyan and Atiyah, we're talking about things of the ones that are happy. So Mefarshim discussed over here a different opinion, whether Masa or Matan here also means, whether it means any kind of business, or whether specifically it means business in things that bring Simcha. Anyway, the Benin of Benetia in building and planting, the Erosin of Benetzurin in engagements, or actually Erosin is Kedushin, really, the first stage of marriage, over Benetzurin and in weddings. That last one, by the way, that Rambam limits it to similar to what we talked about the other day as far as Meshamash Mechalse in years of hunger. Here also the Rambam, where we said that there's a difference whether you're Mekayim Piri Viribia or not, here also the Rambam says there's a difference. If you haven't been Mekayim Piri Viribia yet, go ahead and get married during this period, because, yeah. The Rambam is saying that, yeah, you can get married even during this period, even if you don't have children or you haven't yet been Mekayim Piri Viribia, you don't even have a son and a daughter. Then you should. If, for example, a man is going to be marrying a second wife, or his first wife passed away and he's remarrying or whatever, then he shouldn't. That's assuming that, yeah. And also you should curtail saying, asking after each other's welfare, saying hello to each other, basically. You act like people who've been yelled at by Hashem. Nizufin means like they've been rebuked by Hashem.
Like,
indeed, they have a similar thing on Tisha B'Av, that we don't greet each other, right?
Because it's an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's not an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to greet somebody else, but it is when you greet somebody happily. It's like you do that when times are good. When you're under rebuke from Hashem, though, then you don't. You act like an obel.
Shalom, you use the name of David.
I don't think that's necessarily the issue. Hayichid continues the Mishnah. Hayichidim chozrin amasanin ad sheyetzei nisan. The Yechidim, again, the Tamar Chachamim, go back to fasting until Nisan ends. Now, when we say Nisan ends, we don't mean Rosh Chodesh Tiyar. What we actually mean is Nisan shel Tzkufa, meaning the Nisan, the solar Nisan, so to speak, begins at the spring equinox, nowadays March 20th or 21st. 1 month after that, when the sun is leaving Mazel Tzlan, entering Mazel Shur, so what, April 20th or 20th, April 19th or 20th, that's the end of the Nisan of the Tzkufa. That's the end of solar Nisan, and that's the normal end of the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael. Yotzen Nisan v'yodru b'shamim, if Nisan ended and then rain comes, simen kolo, and it's a sign of a curse. Because then it'll destroy, right? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Haloi Ketzir Chitim, Ayom V'Gomer, this was in last Shabbos of Torah, where Shmuel says to the people, I want to demonstrate to you how upset Hashem is with you, that you asked for a king. Now it's the harvest season, but I'm going to dive into Hashem, and he's going to bring rain and thunder and lightning.
And indeed
it happened, yeah. So therefore, so the Yechidim, in other words, that's why we're saying the Yechidim don't fast past the end of solar Nisan, because at that point, any rain that would fall would be harmful. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, Bishleim Akula Isru Tainu. I can understand why most of the things that you're saying that are also on the second and third set of fasts, that there's pleasure in them. Rechitza v'sicha v'tashma shamita, bathing, anointing, and marital relations. Ava malacha tzaru. But malacha, isn't that a pain for a person? Isn't that not a bothersome thing? Why is that restricted on these tanesim? Amar rechitza, amar rabbi yomir ba'aba, because omakra, the pasuk says, kadshu tzaim tiru atzara, this is a pasuk in Yoel that's describing that plague of locusts that we talked about last week. So he says, "Kachutzaim, declare a fast day, kiru atzara, call a gathering, isfus kainim, and gather together this kainim." Therefore, he's calling it an atzara, and therefore we darish it as katzara. A fast is like atzara, like Shavuos and Shemini Atzera, Yom Tovim. Ma atzara also basi is malacha, just like atzara, you're not allowed to do work. Atzara also basi is malacha. Saying a fast. Question is, e ma seres meurta aptainis nami meurta. Well, if so, then maybe go further and compare that. Just like with atzeres, you have to stop working where the yomtiv begins before shkia. So atainis also should begin at the same time. Which we said the second set of fasts do that, but the first set of fasts don't. If we're saying that any time is like that, then yeah.
The first three don't.
Yeah.
And then the next seven do.
Right. Well, the next three and the next seven. Yeah. The last seven, yeah. Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba'Abba
personally explained to me that we have to look back at the Pasuk. Omakro isfuz kenim. The Pasuk says, oh, so actually, no, the question isn't really, the fact is the last 10 fasts you do start fasting the night before. But when it comes to malacha, though, what we're talking about is malacha over here. When it comes to malacha, Shavuos or Shemini Atzeres, obviously you don't do malacha the night of the Yom Tov either. We're asking over here, shouldn't it be the same thing? By these last 10 fasts, you wouldn't be able to do malacha beginning from the evening before.
And it's not so.
When we're saying in the mission of Asur and Malacha, it means only the daytime is Asur and Malacha. The night you're allowed to do work. And theoretically, Rashi says technically the same thing. Rashi says later, technically the same thing applies to Tisha B'Av as well. Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to do malacha, but technically that doesn't apply by night also. You don't want to publicize that. You don't want people to be makel in it. But technically, you are allowed to do malacha even Tisha B'Av night.
What do you call malacha, like Shabbos?
More or less.
No, we're not talking about that.
We're not talking about to that extent. We see, for example, people drive on Tisha B'Av and they carry, they do things like that. No, we're talking about malacha as an actual work. You know, usual.
Going
to work, basically. Yeah.
And that was the.
What is it?
It's watery. From the spring?
Yeah.
From the tap.
Okay. Right. Anyway, yeah.
I can imagine that they did some malachas, even though they weren't ones that were not for business ones. Is that right? You know.
No, we're talking about over here malacha. We're talking about malacha as in the kind of work a person normally does. We're saying that by a tainis, it's only restricted by day. If you're comparing it to atzeres, then it should be also by night as well. So Rabbi Zera says, "L'dikimi farshali minei de Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba'Abba personally explained to me because omakro isfuz kenim." The Pasuk also mentions, there's three things the Pasuk mentions. It mentions the tzoim, it mentions atzora, which we said is atzeres, and then it continues, isfuz kenim, gather together the elders. Which means Zumya Dasif Askanim. So the Issur of Malacha has to be similar, or has to be at the same time as the gathering of the elders. Ma'asif Askanim Bayoim, just as the elders gather by day, as we're going to talk about in a minute what the schedule of a fast day is. Aftsoim Nami Bayoim, so the same thing also, the restrictions of Malacha of the time also apply by day.
Meaning not by night.
Tosfos points out that, so why don't we say, I mean, the Pasuk does mention Tsoim, after all, which on the face of it means a fast day. But the answer is the Pasuk does not explicitly mention not eating. There are some Mepharshim on the Pasuk over there who say, actually, and apparently it could be that Tosfos holds the same way, that the word soim technically doesn't really mean a fast. Soim is actually related to the word soimus, meaning a gathering. So a soim technically means a day when everybody gathers. So yes, everybody's fasting, but it doesn't actually call it that in the Pasuk.
So where do we take that from?
That the soim, because eventually it develops that meaning. But in the Pesukim, Tzoyim doesn't necessarily mean a fast.
Gathering.
It means gathering, yeah. The question is, the aim of Mitiara, okay, but then, say that the Isra of Malacha only begins from noontime, from Chatzos.
Tzira
Chatzos, like Tzaraim. Rav Shisha, Breder of Idi, Messiah Leil Rabuna. In that case, this that we're saying that not, that the Isra of Malacha begins immediately from the morning, that supports what Rabuna says. He says that already in the morning is when the elders of the city gather together. What do they do? What's the schedule on a fast day? Amar Abaya, Mitzafra ad Talgadilema, from the morning until Chatzos, until the middle of the day, Ma'inin and Mili Dimasa, we look into the matters of the city. We look into, so Rashi says what it means is, we check in what people are doing, we check whether people are stealing, and if they are, then we make sure that the victims are compensated and people ask Mechila. Other Mephoroshim add, more generally, we look to see if there's any kind of, Avedus that people are doing, and then take steps to do something about them. That's the first half of the day. So that's the Asifas Kedim that we're talking about, where the elders gather together. After that, Riva de Yom Akorin B'Sifra V'Haftarta, for one quarter of the day we read from the Torah and read the Haftarah. Mikan Ve'Elach Be'in and Rachmi. And after that, we dive in for Rachmanos. Which Mephoshim, by the way, talk about then, that so we're saying over here, it seems over here that they only read the Torah and the Haftarah in the afternoon. Don't we read on a tainus, don't we read the Torah in the morning as well? We read by a chal in the morning. But not, so some Mephoshim say, that's what the Gemara means. It doesn't mean to say you don't read at all in the morning. It means you read in the morning, but when do you do the Haftarah? Only in the afternoon, exactly as we're doing. Other Mephoshim explain that, no, the difference is, nowadays we don't do the part that it described the first half of the day, that we check into what's going on in the city, for a variety of reasons. One of them is because, as we said yesterday, we don't really have a formal Tainus Tzibur in Chutzlar, in the absence of a Sanhedrin, etc. So therefore, we don't really have this formalized schedule, so therefore we have time in the morning to read by yourself. Some of Mephoshim do say, actually, though, in Masechta Megillah, it talks about the different kriyas for all year round, and it says that actually on a Tainus Tzibur, you're supposed to read the Brachos and Kolos, the Torchacha, from Parashat Vavokotai. We don't, we read by yourself. So some of them say that that's one reason, in order to demonstrate that it's not the same kind of kindness as they had in those days.
Whereas
Tisha B'Av, we read as something appropriate to Tisha B'Av. We read Tisha the bottom in the morning and by Chal, but we still read by Chal in the afternoon. Yeah. How do we know that that's the schedule? Shenemar, the pasuk says in Nehemiah, Vayakumu al Amdom, they stood up in their places. Vayikru b'sefer Torah Hashem alakeim Reviyas Hayom, they read from the Torah of Hashem for a quarter of the day. Or Reviyas Musvadim and Meshachim Hashem alakeichem, and for another quarter of the day, they were confessing their averus and bowing and then davening to Hashem. So the Gemara asks, April Hana, maybe flip it around. Maybe first you do the pasuk's only mentioning the quarter of the day and the quarter of the day. How do you know then that you're saying the first half of the day you're checking into what's going on in the city? Maybe you do it the other way around. Maybe the first thing you get out of the morning, you lay in the Torah and you daven until noon, and then from noon and on you start checking into what's doing in the city. The answer is most Hakadaita, you can't think like that. It's Div, because we have a pasuk in Ezra that describes like this. When Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, people informed him that there are many Jews over there who are intermarried. And the pasuk says, "Ve'ela yasfu kochored b'divrei elokei Yisrael al ma'al agoyla v'goymer." That they've gathered to me when I'm sitting over there. The pasuk describes, "Ani yoshev meshoyim." I'm sitting there stunned. So everybody's gathering to me, kochored b'divrei elokei Yisrael. Everybody who's fearful for the words of Hashem. In other words, everybody who's concerned about the situation. Al mala goyla, about the trespass of the goyla. Yeah. Uchtiv, and then the pasuk continues, over mincha sa'erev, when it came time for the afternoon mincha, kamti mitan. You see, I got up still fasting, and the pasuk continues, I ripped my clothing, but efrasa kapa el Hashem, and I stretched out my arm and my hands to start diving into the Eivishtei. So we see that the first half of the day, people are coming to him, that's ma'ayinim b'milu d'mosa. People are coming and telling him what the scale of the problem is. And only in the afternoon, only by mincha sa'erev, does he get up and start davening. Amar Raphim by Papa Amar. What? Milu d'mosa means the matters of the city. What's going on in the city? Like Rashi says, if there's anybody who's stealing or whatever, to take steps to do about that. Or more generally, to take steps to what they're going to do about this intermarriage problem. Amar Raphim by Papa Amar of Chista. Here's a general rule. Kol shehu mishum evil, any fast, any time when a person is acting a certain way because of mourning, to a Tisha B'Av of Avol, like Tisha B'Av or like an actual Avol. Also, ben b'cham and ben b'tzonin, then they're not allowed to bathe either in hot water or in cold water. On the other hand, kol shehu mishum tainug, any time when you're fasting, when you're afflicting yourself because you're not supposed to have pleasure, you're going tainus sibur, for example, tainus sibur, like in our Mishnah, b'cham and also b'tzonin mutter. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water, but you are allowed to bathe in cold water.
Usually you cannot,
Everything like Tisha B'Av, a novel, yeah. But anything that's not like that, anything where it's just like these, where you're supposed to be afflicting yourself, but it's not a matter of avelos, then you're allowed to wash yourself in cold water. So Shivas B'Tamuz and Asar B'Tevis, we were talking about yesterday or the day before, that technically you can wash on those days, but in Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, it says that a Baal Nefesh should be careful about it. Yeah, but technically you're allowed to. Anyway, Omer of Idi Ba'ovin, Afanan Nami Tanena. In fact, we can see that from the words in our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that they lock up the bathhouses. Now, in bathhouses, you bathe in hot water. So obviously, if we're telling us you have to lock up the bathhouses, implies that you can't use hot water, but you could use cold water. Abaya says that's no proof. The Ibit Sonin also Sechron Asanharas. So what, you're telling me that if the halacha had been that you can't bathe in cold water, the Mishnah should have said they stop up the rivers? And it's impossible to do that. There's no way of preventing people from bathing in cold water. Fine, the Mishnah is saying no limits on exercise. Maybe that means they don't want you bathing in hot water. They don't want you bathing in cold water either, but there's no real way to prevent that.
By locking the bathhouses, don't you lock also the cold water?
No. There's cold water is in rivers and streams and whatnot.
They didn't have that.
Yeah. Omer of Shisha Bridge of Idi, Abba Hachikashalai. My father actually, when Rabbi Idi Ba'avin was Rabbi Shisha B'Rei Rabbi Idi's father, had the following question. When he was saying that we can see from the words of the Mishnah that there's a difference between hot and cold water, he didn't mean you're right. I mean, Abaya has a point. It's not like the Mishnah would have had a way of specifying that you can't bathe in cold water. But rather, he was looking at the Mishnah as follows. Mefti tnan osu b'chitza. I mean, let's consider. The Mishnah already said you're not allowed to bathe. Neulin samachatzayis lomali. Why even bother mentioning that you have to lock up the bathhouses? Obviously, that part, it's not that the Mishnah is saying, it's not by mentioning bathhouses we're implying, but anything that's not a bathhouse is mutter. It's rather, the Mishnah didn't have to mention bathhouses at all. If all it wanted to say is you're not allowed to bathe, it would have just said, also b'rechitza. The fact that it adds the no-lan samachatzayis comes to tell us a kula. We're telling you you're not allowed to bathe, but you should know it's only in the merchatzayis, therefore only in hot water.
Because it didn't mention Rechitza, it just mentioned
Bar. Because it did mention Rechitza, and it also mentioned Merchatzoyt, and then specifically mentioned the bathhouses. Elalav Shmamina, Bechamin also Betzon and Mutter. So obviously that proves that in hot water you're not allowed to bathe on these fast days, but on cold water you are. Can we say that the following braisa supports him? We've had this braisa a couple times already. Anybody who's chayav to tovel is allowed to tovel their normal way, whether on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur. Even though you don't have to bathe on those days, you're allowed to tovel if you have to tovel for any particular reason. Right. Well, for Tara, right. Now we have to consider, what kind of tevilah are we talking about? B'mai. In what kind of water are we talking about? Ilema b'chamin? Do you mean that the person is toveling in hot water? What do you mean? Tevila b'chamin mi'ika? How is there such a thing as bathing in hot, as toveling in hot water? Shu'uvin ninu. That would be drawn water, which is possible for a mitzvah. Throughout the time, well, in the times of the Gemara, and even the times of the Rishonim, it was a given, there's no way to have a hot mitzvah unless like you're bathing in hot springs like in Tveria or whatever. Other than that, any natural body of water is going to be cold water. And even, I mean, Tosfos points out, for example, I mean, you might think, for example, you can say you can have hot water, and then you boil up hot water, and then you make it flow into the mikveh. Maybe that should be kosher. But no, that doesn't work because you started off with drawn water. It only works if the water itself comes from a natural water source.
It works when it's only authorized.
Yeah. So
naturally hot water.
Yeah, but that's not very common. Usually, so most. But besides that, also actually, somebody showed him point out that the Chachamim specifically didn't want you to be toveling in hot water, even if it was available, because then you might think that you could just as well tovel in a bathhouse, which is definitely Mayim Shovim. So one of the
is that the only reason?
That's the official reason. So for example, there's one of Rabbeinu Shimshon, one of the Baalei HaTosfos talks about that he says he doesn't remember if it was Rabbeinu Tam or I don't remember if it was Rabbeinu Tam or somebody else. Asered, somebody wanted to build a mikveh with hot water and he was told also to do because it's Gzeiras Merchatz.
Having said that, though, in later times there were later Rishonim and Achronim who were master it. In the times of the Beis Yosef, it's brought that there were people. The Beis Yosef himself held that you're allowed to heat up a mikveh, and there's no problem of Gzeres Melchus, and therefore you can have that because there are opinions who say that it's mutter. Later on, the Alter Rebbe was very big on the idea that mikvahs should be heated. In order that women can tovel when they need to safely without endangering their health. And where the Alter Rebbe lived, that was a real issue. So in fact, it's actually brought that the Alter Rebbe considered it one of his ten, I believe it's brought that the Alter Rebbe considered it one of his ten chosim that he established a way to be able to make hot mikvahs. That he made it the standard that there should be hot mikvahs and it should still conform in every way with halacha.
What was the original Gzeira? I know I get came up.
The original Gzeira was Gzeiras Melchat. You don't want to get your
bath over there.
Yeah, if you can tovel in hot water, you might as well. People are going to think you might as well tovel in a bathhouse.
Oh, yeah.
The Pashtus, I mean, part of the difference then may have been once bathhouses became less common, then maybe there wasn't such a issue anymore.
Also, originally it was mutter to go to bathhouse and Shabbos.
No, we're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about toveling regular.
The Gemara is saying over here
is a given. How is it possible to tovel in hot water? Yeah. No. We're talking. Yeah.
You know, in winter, there was no heat. The mikveh was freezing cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like crazy. Now it's warm.
Yeah.
But you remember?
I was never in Gemara. Yeah. Anyway, so. Obviously, when you're saying that people can tovel normally on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur, has to be in cold water. And that implies v'chayev etvilas ein in ishachrin alay. Only people who are otherwise chayev to tovel, for example, nidah or yodas or whatever, people who are actually tame, are allowed, but not other people. So therefore you seem to have a proof actually for Rav Chisda. This is going back to what Rav Chisda said, that on Tisha B'Av, that any time when it's Mishum Evel, that you're not allowed to even bathe in cold water. It seems that we have a support for him from this Braisa. Tisha B'Av, we're saying only a person who's Chayiv Tevila is allowed to tovel, and necessarily Tevila means in cold water, but nobody else. That would be exactly what he's saying. No, you could tovel in cold water. The Braisa is saying Rav Chisda can't argue with the Braisa, but still, the proof for Rav Chisda is the fact that nobody else can go into cold water, even though you have an exemption because you have to tovel. But other than that, you have no exemption because of Tisha B'Av. That would be what Rav Chisda is saying.
Yeah.
Incidentally, the halacha nowadays is not like that. The halacha nowadays, we talked about this at the end of Yuma, is that. The halacha is nowadays that a person who has to tovel may not tovel on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur, because if it's a man, there's no reason la halacha that a man needs to tovel nowadays. But the Tevilas Ezra is only a minhag nowadays, not halacha. As far as a woman toveling, first of all, Tosfos points out that women aren't necessarily toveling bizman in any way, because the way we keep the halachas of Nida mixed in with the halachas of Ziva nowadays, not necessarily is she toveling at the time when she would have to tovel Midaraisa anyway. But besides that, also, Tosfos says, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, practically speaking, what's the reason for a woman to tovel to be mutter to her husband? Fine, Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, you can't have relations anyway, so it's a moot point. And that's Taka the halacha. Anyway. Amar of Chama Bar Ketina, so Rav Chama Bar Ketina says, not necessarily is this Braisa a proof for Rav Chisda, because when it's Rechel al-Lacham Etzveria, maybe the Braisa is talking about that you're not allowed to tovel on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur in the hot, well, that you are allowed to tovel, but nobody else is allowed to go into the hot springs of Tveria. When the Braisa says that anybody who's Chayiv Tevila is allowed to tovel on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, maybe it means you're even allowed to tovel on Chama Etzveria, but nobody else is. But then it's not saying anything about cold water one way or the other. Question is, Yehachi Eima Sefer? Well, if so, look at the next part. Omer Chanina Sgana Koinim. No, they shouldn't tovel on that day. He says, Kedai hu beis alakeinu la'abadol tzvila pamachas v'shana. The house of Hashem, the churban, is worth it. It is worth enough to lose one day a year to tovel on. In other words, don't tovel on Tisha B'Av. Just wait till afterwards. Now, v'yamet v'tzonin mutter, yuchat v'tzonin. You're saying Rav Chisda that you're allowed to bathe in cold. You're trying to prove against Rav Chisda. You're saying Rav Chisda is saying you're not allowed to go in cold water, but maybe the halacha is not like him. If the Braisa was only talking about hot water, then why is Rav Chanina Sgana Koinim saying, okay, you know what? Don't tovel on Tisha B'Av. You should be allowed to tovel in cold water. If he's saying you can't, obviously means he says you can't tovel in cold water either. Well, then that's exactly what Rav Chisda is saying. Or rather, it's not exactly what Rav Chisda is saying. Rav Chanina is saying, everybody is saying, I agree that a regular person can't go even in cold water. The Tanakhama, though, is saying tevilah is an exception. And Rav Chanina, Skanakonim, is saying, no, I don't agree with that exception.
It was authorized, you wouldn't only say it for it.
No, that's the thing. That's the thing. If the Braita is talking about hot water, then why is Rav Chanina, Skanakonim, saying, you know what, you're not allowed to tovel in hot water, better miss the tevilah. Why? Let him say, go in cold water. Evidently, the Braitha must be talking about cold water either. The answer is, I'm in a problem, not necessarily. The Braitha can be talking about a place where cold water to tovel in is not available. You're in a place where the only local natural body of water is a hot spring. So then, yes, then Rav Chanina Skanakonim is saying, given that you can't use it on Tisha B'Av, then Belesperi, you'll have to miss a Tevilah. But the Braitha still does not necessarily tell us anything about toveling in cold water, so we don't really have a proof one way or the other from it for what Rav Chisda is saying. Toshma, let's bring a proof from another Braitha, Kshamru Asur B'Malacha, when they said about an Ovel that he is, we're talking about a tiny Tzibur, that he's also to do Malacha, like I said in our Mishnah, Loy Amru El Bayom, that's only talking about by day, Abba Balayla Mutter, but by night you're Mutter, like we said before. And Kshamru Asur B'Malacha, Ilas Asandol, also when they said on a tiny Tzibur that you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, Loy Amru El Bayir, that's only talking about when you're in the city, Abba Baderach Mutter, but if you're walking on the road, you're allowed to, you can't be expected to walk around barefoot. Okay, so what do? When you start walking, you put on shoes. When you come into the city, you take them off. That halacha only applies if you're walking, by the way. It doesn't apply if you're riding in a wagon, or nowadays if you're driving in a car. You don't have a head to wear shoes on Tisha B'Av. Yeah.
Socks?
Socks are never an issue. It's only leather shoes are an issue. Uchsha, and continue the price. So Uchsha Amru also berachitza, when they said that on Tainas Sibri you're not allowed to bathe, Loi Amru ela kol gufay, they only said you're not allowed to bathe your whole body, Avapana, v'yadav v'daglav mutter, but you're allowed to wash your face, your hands, and your feet. V'chein at the moitza b'menudu over evil, and the same thing applies to somebody who's a nidui, and to an oval. That they also, the same rules apply. Now, my lava kulu, so presumably that last statement is applying to all of them. That last statement that you're allowed to wash your face, hands, and feet is talking about a tiny sibur and a person who's nidri and an oval and umaya skin. Now we have to consider what kind of water are we talking about? Ilema b'chamin. You're talking about hot water. Even ponav yadav ragla b'sharu. Are you even allowed to wash your face? Is an oval even allowed to wash just his face, hands, and feet in hot water? No, garment of sheshes, oval also loy sheshes by b'chamin. An oval is not even allowed to stick his little finger, in his finger, into hot water. El olav b'tzainin. So it must be talking about cold water. And you're saying, and the Braitha is saying, that you're not allowed to bathe your whole body in cold water, but you are allowed to put it on your face, hands, and feet. What about it?
Why not? One part at a time, right?
No, part of yadav v'raglav v'pashtus just means the parts that are visible to other people. Where if you're walking around with a dirty face or dirty hands or whatever,
But if you have armpits, the body odor.
That's a different thing. We'll talk about on Amud Beis about that you can do lahavir hazuma to remove the bad smell. We'll get to that. The answer is loy, not necessarily la'olam b'chamin. The brayse that could be talking about after all using hot water. Or the kakashalach b'chenet the moitzib a menudo b'ovel. What about that last part that it said that the same thing applied to a menudo and an oval? It's asha'orakoi. It's referring to the rest of the things that it mentioned. It's talking about what? It's talking about wearing shoes. It's talking about anointing. It could takabit that there is a difference. That on tainas sibur you are allowed to. That on tainas sibur you are allowed. You are allowed to wash even your face, hands, and feet with hot water. But an oval would not be allowed to. But you still have no proof one way or the other whether we're talking hot versus cold. Toshma, the Omer of Abba Akoyin, Mishum Rav Yosi Akoyin, Maisa Umeisu Bonav Shur Rav Yosi Ben Rav Chanina. It happened once that Rav Yosi Ben Rav Chanina's children died, V'rochatz B'tzonin, Kol Shiva, and he washed himself in cold water the whole during Shiva. So we see you're allowed to bathe in cold water. Whereas Rav Chisda is saying you're not. Rav Chisda is saying that when it's a matter of Havelus, you're not allowed to. It's a Braisa, though, where Rav Chisda can't argue with a Braisa. Unless he has a different opinion. I mean, unless he can find a different Tana who holds that way. The answer is Hasan Kishet Kafu Avelos Hava. That case was, there was one Avelos after the other. Shkapuhu means they're a takif, like immediately after one was the other. That says Banav showed up Yesi ben Hanina. So like one of his children died, and then as you know, as soon as the shiva of the first one was over, then the second one passed away. So now, and D'tanya, we learn in a b'risa, kafu avelav zachazev. If a person has two avelos in one right after the other, hichbib sire mekel b'tar. So if during that time his hair is becoming heavy, he's allowed to lighten it using a razor. In other words, he's allowed to cut off a little bit. Normally during shiva, a person would not be allowed to take a haircut at all. But here, with 2 weeks, he's going to have to go without it. Then he's allowed to take off a little bit of it. And he's allowed to wash his clothes in water. Because again, you can't expect him to go 2 weeks without doing laundry. However, in that case, there are rules. He can use a razor, because that's not a normal way of cutting your hair, but not scissors. And the mayim, he can use only water for his laundry. But he can't use neser, which is a kind of natural detergent they used in those days, or v'loy b'choil, and not with sand, which would be the equivalent nowadays of just using water without detergent. So therefore, that's why he's washing in cold water. We're talking about doing the second shiva for his second child. So then already, the same way as he has a kula as far as haircuts and as far as washing his clothes, the same thing he has a kula as far as bathing, that he can bathe in cold water. But that doesn't prove for a normal avelus. Amar Rava, however, Rava says, Aval mutar luchas b'tzon in kol shiva, and Aval is allowed to bathe in cold water throughout the 7 days. Meated to have our bistur b'chamra, because it's no different than eating meat or drinking wine. An Aval is not limited from eating meat and drinking wine, which is a tainuk for him. The same thing, bathing in cold water is also a tainuk. You can, yeah.
A novel,
yeah. During shiva. No, during shiva. Yeah. Yeah. So the same thing, he should be allowed to wash in cold water.
Yeah.
I have a contradiction. A braisa says, Ein ha begeres rashol navel asatma me'evel avia. A begeres, which is a girl who is 6 months past her bas mitzvah, technically 6 months after she reached puberty. At that point, she's already of marriageable age. She's already a kala meidel. So therefore, she's not rashah, which literally, the usual meaning of rashah is permitted to. But discuss over here doesn't mean that she's not permitted to. She doesn't have to, meaning, l'navel asatma, to make herself repulsive, b'mei evel avia, during the time of her father's avelus. What does her father's avelus mean? Rashi says two explanations. One is supposing that her father is an avel. She is not an avel. Let's say, for example, her father had two different wives, and his son from one, let's say his child from the other wife died. So this child is her half brother. She doesn't have to sit shiva for him. But still, when she's around her father, she has to act in a way of avelus. This is the same concept as you have, for example, when a married couple, when one of their parents passes away and they're sitting shiva, the other member of the couple has to, when they're in the same room with them, also prava shiva. They don't have to when they're alone, but they have to when they're together with their spouse. But here we're saying she does not have to, or she doesn't have to, or she's not allowed to, as the case may be, to make herself repulsive, like by not bathing, during the time of her father's avelus. Second explanation, now she says, is that evel avia means that actually her father passed away, and she is actually sitting shiva for him. But nevertheless, since he's a kala meidel, she shouldn't. Which implies her naira rasha, which implies if she's a naira, if she's within that 6 month period, where she's not really of marriageable age yet, rasha, then she is allowed to. Or she should. Now, my love, so when we're talking about that she's menavel herself, what do we mean? Presumably means bathing. Who am I? And then what kind of bathing are we talking about? You're going to say in hot water. What do you mean? Ain't a bageris rasha, that a bageris is not allowed, it does not have to avoid taking hot showers. But Amar Rav Chista, Abel also lahoishet etzvay b'chamin. Rav Chista said, before we had Rav Sheshes, now it's saying in the name of Rav Chista, but anyway, that an Abel is not even allowed to stick his finger into hot water. So obviously, if she's going to be bathing, it has to be in cold water. El alav v'tzaynin. So a pashtus, it means in cold water. And we're saying that a bageris is allowed to wash in cold water so that she doesn't become repulsive to people. The people will want to marry her. But a naira, since she's over bas mitzvah, does have to have a complete avelus and not even go into cold water. That would be, again, what Rav Chisda is saying. The answer is loy, not necessarily. Akichol opirkus, when it's talking about being menavel herself, when it's talking about that she doesn't have to, that the begeris does not have to make herself repulsive, could mean as far as avoiding kichol, which is putting on makeup, opirkus is parting or braiding or whatever her hair. So nothing to do with bathing. So Begeret does not have to. She can still continue with the makeup and making up her hair, etc., so people will be attracted to her and then be willing to marry her. A Naira, who's not yet of that age, is not allowed to, but not necessarily. Is the guy saying anything about bathing? The Gemara says, okay, Leima Messiah, still, can we say that there supports him, the story that we had before? We said before that it happened that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina's children died, and he bathed in cold water all 7 days. So before we tried to use that as a question against Rav Chisda. And we said that we're talking about one avelus after the other. Here, where Rava is arguing with Rav Chisda and says, on the contrary, an avel is allowed to bathe in cold water, so we're using this as a sport for him. The answer is no. Amri, they said, again, like we answered by Rav Chisda, it could mean that they were two back-to-back. Yeah, the Tanya tefu avel of zachazeh hich b'tzayre makeup atar, that if his hair gets heavy, he can lighten it with a razor, or mechabes tzusse b'mayim, and he can bathe his clothes, he can wash his clothes in water. And again, amar of chista b'tzayre avalay b'nesparayim, he can use a razor, but he cannot use scissors, b'mayim v'lay b'neser v'lay b'chov v'lay ba'al, where he can use water, but not neser or sand or ahol, which is aloe, which is another kind of detergent they used in those days. So again, there was, just like before, it wasn't a proof against Rav Chisda. Here, that same price is not a proof for Rava.
Because
it could be a special situation. Ikdamri, others say that the version of what Rava said is different. Amar Rava, Avol also b'tzayin in kol shiva. That according to the second version, Rava agrees with Rav Chisda that an Avol is not allowed to bathe in cold water throughout the 7 days. And the question is, Maishanam Abasa V'yayin, in that case, you have to ask, why is it different than meat and wine? An Oval is allowed to eat meat and drink wine, even though that's Tainug. Why is he not allowed to bathe? And the reason is, Hasam, when it comes to meat and wine, he's doing it in order to ease his fear, his tsar. Eating meat and drinking wine helps take the edge off his tsar. But in other words, it's not just a matter of tainug. Bathing is a matter of tainug, and oval is supposed to be avoiding various kinds of tainug. Here, it's not just a matter of tainug, as the matter of making himself taking the edge off his sadness. It's a different kind of thing.
The difference between taking the edge of the sadness
and having pleasure. Yeah, that's what we're saying. Again, Leima Messiah, can we say that we can support him from that braisa about the Begeret? And a Begeret Hashol the Naval Atma, that a Begeret does not have to make himself repulsive. Hanaira Rashal, but a Naira does. And again, B'mai Ilema B'chamin, are you going to say that we're talking about in hot water? What do you mean, and a Begeret Hashol, that a Begeret does not have to? B'am Rachitza Oval Asa Lahushtet by B'chamin, that an Oval, we said, is not allowed to put even his finger in hot water. Elalab Batsonin, must it not be talking about cold water? So then, again, if the braisa is saying that a naira is not allowed to bathe in cold water during shiva, or even according to Rashi's first explanation, even during her father's shiva when she's around, when her father knows what's going on, because she has to prava avelus for his sake, and we're saying that a naira is not allowed to bathe in cold water. For a begeret, we're saying you make an exception so that she's because she's a kalamedo.
Begeret
is when she's more than 6 months past puberty. And again, the answer is loya kichlu pirkus. Again, like we answered before, no, the braisa might not be talking about bathing at all. It might be talking about makeup and hairdos and whatever. So not necessarily would there be a proof one way or the other from that. Amar Rav Chisda, by the way, Rav Chisda says that for a begeret we make this exception that she's allowed to put on makeup and do her hair even during shiva. We see from that that normally an oval then would not be allowed to do that. Normally, for example, a woman who a naira was saying is not allowed to. A married woman also wouldn't be allowed to. By the same token, we learn from that oval also b'tichbeitis kol shiva, and oval is also not allowed to wash his clothes during the whole 7 days. Because again, we're saying that there have to be more restrictions on an oval, and this is one of them. So one of them is that he's not allowed to bathe, which are about, and not allowed to wash his clothes.
Drink wine.
Yeah. Which Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, I mean, why does Rav Chisda need to derive it like that? Why doesn't he just say more straightforwardly? We said before that when you have two avelos in back-to-back, you're allowed to do laundry with water, implying, but if it's only one single avelos, you're not allowed to. And he leaves it tzarechiv. He should have said that rather than having to do an inference from the case of the Begeris. He leaves it tzarechiv. I think I saw a reference that one of the Mefarshim in the back, I think the Rashash, maybe give a possible answer for it. I don't know if I can find it right now. The Hilchasa, the bottom line, the Halacha, Ovel also luchot kogufoi, ben b'cham and ben b'sonin, kol shiva, and Ovel is not allowed to wash his whole body, whether in hot water or in cold water, throughout the whole days of shiva. Av upon of yada v'dag, but when it comes to his face, hands, and feet, b'cham and also b'sonin mutter. He's not allowed to wash them in hot water, but he is allowed to wash them in cold water. But when it comes to anointing himself with a cream or whatever, any amount is aser. The imla aver is hazuam mutter. But if it's to take away the smell, like you were asking before, about armpits, then it's mutter. So you can put on deodorant, for example. What?
With soap to take off the odor is possible.
Or deodorant or whatever. Yeah. New topic. Now the Gemara starts. Shloisad tanisa heichim abturinan. We're in davening. We said we're talking over here about fast days. So we're talking about, you have to say anenu. Yesterday we were talking about anenu for tainis yachid. Now we're going to be talking about anenu for tainis sibur. Where in Shemini Esrei do you say anenu?
Shloisa means what?
Shloisa means the tefillah, the tanisa of the tainis heichim abturinan. Where do we mention it? So. To answer the question, Adverei Rav Yehuda the Rav Yitzchak Verei, Rav Yehuda Adverei, his son Rav Yitzchak. There's a few different explanations among Mepharshim what Adverei means. One is, Rashi says, I think in Beis we had, that means he took him for a walk. Different other Mepharshim talk about that it means like he introduced him in public, or he coached him, that this is what he's going to say in a public speech, or he appointed him as the new Rosh Hashiva, or whatever. Anyway, the Darash, and he darshan as follows, Yachid Shekibol Olav Tainis, Mispalo shel tainis, that when a yachid accepts on himself a tainis, like we were talking about yesterday, then he has to say the tefillah of the tainis. He has to say anenu. The heichon omra, and where does he say it? Then goyol l'roife. He says it between the brachas of goyol of barachat Hashem goyol Yisrael and roife rofeinu, which is where the chazan says it now. But Rav Yitzchak asks on that. What do you mean? Yachid kaveh bracha la'atmai. How does a yachid get to have a bracha for himself? Is he so important? A yachid who's fasting, an individual fast, should be so important that he would have an extra bracha put in Shemini Esrei all for him? It's one thing to add something in the middle of one of the brachas that you're allowed to do, but to have a whole nother bracha between Goyal and Roifei, that not. Elom Rav Yitzchak b'Shemei Tefillah. Rather, Rav Yitzchak says a yachid should be saying it in bracha Shemei Tefillah. B'chenom Rav Sheshes b'Shemei Tefillah. But that's what you should do. You should say it in Shemei Tefillah. But here you're not having an extra bracha. Shemei Tefillah, in every bracha of Shemini Esrei, you're allowed to add me'ein ha-bracha. For example, some sedurim actually have formulas for this. That, for example, in the middle of the bracha rofa'enu, before the chasima, before barachat Hashem, reifechel am Yisrael, a person is allowed to add a tefillah for a personal tefillah for somebody who's sick. It's not an extra bracha. It's in the middle of the bracha. In the middle of Baruch Aleinu, before Baruch Hashem and Baruch Hashanah, a person is allowed to add a request for parnasa. Similarly with each of the other brachas, a person is allowed to add me'ein oiz bracha.
As opposed to between two brachas.
Right. Shmak Aleinu is kind of a petrol for anything else that doesn't fit in any other bracha. So yes, you can say anenu over there. And that's how it is in the Sidurim. And in the Sidurim by Mincha, they have anenu over there etc. Until we be at the podium of Holy Sorbetzuka, we don't say the end of the bracha. We don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Elohim Yisrael Beis Torah, because that would be an extra bracha. That's the yachid. Instead, we continue Kiyat Shemet Tefillah Kopel Baruch Atah Hashem Shemet Tefillah.
And in a minion, then
the chazan says it between Goyal and Roifei, because he's the chazan, he's doing it on behalf of the tzibur. That's what we're going to talk about soon. Whereas the individual yechidim, what we said before that minig Ashkenaz is that yechidim don't say anenu in shachris anyway, only in mincha. But in mincha, yes. So yechidim say it in shmak aleinu. The chazan says it between Goyal and Roifei. If the chazan forgot it over there, then he says it in shemet
tefillah. And the regular mitzvah, when he saw the lachash.
No, it says it in Shemei Tefillah. Says it in Shema Kaleinu, yeah. Why Bechlal? Why does it go dafka between Goyel and Roifei? Why between those two brachas of all things? So the Rav Yoh, one of the Rishonim, explains an interesting thing. We're going to learn in Megillah about a month from now the reason for the order of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Most of them we learn from Sukkim, why one bracha comes after the previous one. The seventh and eighth bracha, there's no explicit Sukkim, it's rather a matter of Svara. The seventh is Re'ein Avon Yenu, it's Goyel Yisrael, and the eighth is Rufa'enu. There's no explicit path of tying those two together. So therefore, that's where we can insert another bracha. And so also, Rav Sheshet says that the place to put in Anenu is in Shema Tfila for Yachid. Meisiv, Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, "In ben Yachid l'tzibur." There's no difference between a Yachid and a Tzibur. El shazemis pala shmoyne esrei, v'zemis pala chai esrei. The one davened 18 brachas in Shmoyne esrei, the other one davened 19. No, one second. Now, my yachid and my tzibur. Now, we have to consider, what do we mean by yachid and what do we mean by tzibur? Ilam yachid mamash v'tzibur shliach tzibur. Do you mean a yachid means literally a person who's davening on his own? And tzibur would mean not the whole tzibur, but it means the shliach tzibur. Then what do you mean, han chai srei? What do you mean only 19? Etzin v'abahavu. We're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, that in the Mishnah, at the beginning of the next parak, that actually on a fast day, they would actually add 6 extra brachas to Shemoneh Esrei. So you're not just up to 19. It's not just you have the regular 18. Okay, Rashi says we're not counting v'lam al-shinim, because v'lam al-shinim was added only later. The original formulation of Shemoneh Esrei was 18 brachas. That's why it's called Shemoneh Esrei. Then we're saying you add anenu. But what do you mean? When the chazan is davening by the omer on Tanis Tzibur, he actually had 6 brachas. They have 24 altogether. Ela lav haki kamar. So presumably, then, what's the braisa mean? Ein ben yachid de kibbol of tainis yachid. The yachid she kibbol of tainis tzibur. We're both talking. Both parts are talking about a yachid davening, but one's talking about where it's a tainis yachid, an individual tainis. The other one is a tainis tzibur. Ela shazemis bal shmoneh esrei v'zemis bal chai esrei. That one davens 18 brachas, and the other one davens 19. So there you have a clear case where Yochid gets the bracha of his own, even though because it's Tainus Tzibur, we're saying because it's Tainus Tzibur, even though he's davening his own personal quiet Shemoneh Esrei, he still adds Anenu as a separate bracha, which would make it 19. The answer is Loi, not necessarily. You could say that the 19 is referring to the Shliach Tzibur. You're asking, what is the Shliach Tzibur davening 24 brachas, not 19, on a fast day? The answer is Begimel Tanius Rishonis. We're talking about the first three fasts. Delaka, Esther Ma'aba, on the first three fasts, you don't have the extra 6 brachas. The next parak, when it talks about Seder Tanius, where they do the extra 6 brachas, it's talking about the last fast, either the last 7 or the last 10, but not the first three. So yes, on the first three, when the chazan is saying anenu, he says it as a separate bracha. But not necessarily does that, and later on, if the fast has to continue, then you do 24. Incidentally, the Tosfos Rid has a very interesting explanation, a different alternate explanation. We were saying that 18 is the basic number of brachas in Shemoneh Esrei before they added v'lam al-shinim. If you're adding anenu, you have 19. The Tosfos Rid, quote, brings from various places in the Yerushalmi, he says there's another way of looking at it. You can, it's possible, in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag was, they used to combine together the bracha of Yerushalayim and the bracha of Estemach. And in fact, they found in the Cairo Gniza ancient fragments of Sidurim where they have a nusach like that, where they finish off with a double thing, Elikei David or Bernie Yerushalayim, to combine the two things together. In our nusach, we do mention David in the Bracha Yerushalayim as well. And in Nusach Ashkenaz, actually, they flip those around. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they actually put the Chitze David Meher L'Seich HaTochen right before the end of the bracha, Baruch HaTashem, Bani Yerushalayim. So that's also a vestige of this, that they used to have one combined bracha for Livri Yerushalayim and Esmanach. So therefore, Tosfos Rid said, originally you had 17 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. Once they added V'lam Al-Shinim, you have 18. That's why it's called Shemoneh Esrei. When you're adding a Nenu, then you have 19.
19.
So it's either it started at 17, then it became 18, and on a fast day it's 19.
Is
when they had combined Estamach and Vilir Shalayim,
right,
before they had Vilam Al-Shinim. 18 is after they added Vilam Al-Shinim, and 19 is after they added Vilam Al-Shinim, and you have Anenu, when the Chazan davened Anenu, where the Koran Tzadashi's way of looking at it is respectively 18, 19, and 20. 18 before they had Vilam Al-Shinim, 19 after they added Vilam Al-Shinim, or before they added Olam HaShinim, when you have a Neinu as a separate bracha, and now when you have both Olam HaShinim and a Neinu as a separate bracha, then 20. Yeah.
Sadim, yeah.
One other interesting proof they bring to this, you can find in some sedurim, they have piyutim written by Rabbi Elazar HaKaler that are supposed to be, that the chazan is supposed to say during Chazaras HaShas on very special days. You can find them in Sidur Ashkenaz and Sfard. There's a series like that that he wrote for Purim, and there's a series like that that he wrote for Tisha B'Av. In both of those cases, he has a little piyut for each one of the brachas to be inserted in each one of the brachas before the final bracha. So you'll start out the chasm So you'll have, for example, that he'll start off Baruch Hashem on the Kenyan of the Kavasin, he'll start off Shemana Esrei, Melech Ozo Mashiach Mogen, and then he'll insert a piyut of a couple of lines over there and finish off Baruch Hashem Mogen Avraham. After Dibur, until Vanemar Atalachi is Mesim, another piyut, and then Baruch Hashem Machayah Mesim, and so forth, going through each of the brachas. It's not considered a hefsek the same way. You're allowed to add your own personal request in each bracha. But he did not write one for the bracha as Semach. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar HaKaler lived in Eretz Yisrael. Whether he was a Tana, whether he lived in the times of the Gaonim, there's many different opinions, but whatever it was, in his time, they still had this minhag where they combined together with the Yerushalayim and a Semach. So he didn't write a separate piyut for each one.
That was up to the temple of Yisrael.
Yes, for sure. But even so, so they had Vilam HaShinim, fine. So he wrote something for Vilam HaShinim, but he did not write a separate thing for the Yerushalayim and a Semach, because in his time, in Eretz Yisrael, they still combined them together. Anyway, so Gemara asked the law, you're telling me that in the first fast you don't say all 24 brachas, you don't say the extra 6 brachas. V'ha ein vein katani. But there's a braisa that says there's no difference between ein vein gimel rishonis gimel amtsoyis. There's no difference between the first 3 fasts and the next 3 fasts. Elo shebe elim utorin vatsiyas malacha over elo asurin vatsiyas malacha. Except that on one of them you're allowed to do malacha, on the first 3 you're allowed to do malacha, on the next 3 you're not. Which implies when it comes to saying the 24 brachas, they're all equal. So you would say the 24 brachas even on the first 3. The Gemara answer is that it often does. Tana b'shir. The Tana listed some things, but then it left out some things. The question is, my shy or dehai shy? Or if you're going to say he left out, you have to say out he left at least 2 things. But if you're going to say he left out 1 thing, it means he doesn't hold of it. If he left out 2 things, fine, he wasn't going to list all of them. So what else did he leave out? The 2, the ha ain bain katani, and besides that, what do you mean? There's many differences that he didn't list. He's specifically saying ain bain. There's no difference between one series and the next, except for this. Ella tana be isuri kol ma'ari betfilas like loy ma'ari. No, you have to answer rather the tana is only talking about the isurim that are different between the one set of fasts and the other. He's not talking about the tefillas at all. Yes, it could well be that there's a difference in tefillas. The first 3 fasts, you don't say the extra 6 brachas. You only say anenu. The next 3 you do. But the Tana is not talking about tefillas. He's talking about what's osur and what's not, and what's not osur on the fast day. So the first ones you're allowed to do malacha, the second ones you're not. Or another answer, and actually, in the middle fast, in the middle 3 fasts, you also don't say all 24 brachas. When do you say the 24 brachas? Only on the last 7 days. So yes, the braisa might well say, can correctly say, there's no difference between the first 3 and the next 3, except for malacha. Which is true, because you don't start saying the 6 brachas, the extra 6 brachas, to bring it up to 24, until the last 7. So yes, the first 3 and the middle 3 are the same in that regard. The discussion is going to continue on, but since it's getting late, I guess let's leave the continuation of it for tomorrow.